All right, we're going to try to keep on track here, which isn't necessarily my reputation, but hey, we're gonna work hard on it. So I just wanted to thank you all for being part of this afternoon of panels and turn it over to Sharon Carlson, who works with the American Scientific Affiliation and does this really cool project called Nexus, which she's going to tell you about.
Yes. Well, welcome. Good to see you all. And how many of you have heard of Nexus, the Nexus Forum? Good, some of you have. We launched Nexus last year at the annual conference, and it was a forum designed to connect members of ASA with each other over various topics of professional and personal development. So think of it sort of like a mentoring forum, and particularly with students in mind and designed to connect you as students and early career professionals with those who have gone before you. I don't want to call them the older ones, but we'll use that just for the sake of it. So
it fits.
We've decided, it was initially designed on the ASA membership site and found that it was a little cumbersome for people to access. So what we've decided to do is migrate it to Facebook. So I'm going to hand out a flyer here, and what we'd love for you to do at some point between now and, let's say, dinner, jump on there and request to join the group. And if you do, we're going to be doing a drawing later for a gift certificate to the bookstore. So, our hope, and we would love to have a couple of hundred members of this group before the end of the conference so that we can start some really great conversations.
And Sharon, yes. More experienced scientists are also very welcome, though, right?
Because absolutely.
We would love to hear their perspectives.
Right, not just for students. So it's for all members. So for today, we're happy to have our panel here. I'm just going to find my book so I get you all right, even though I know you. So we're just going to hear from each of our panel members talking about various aspects of mentoring with students. And so Johnny Lin is our first panelist, and we have Randy Isaac, and Faith Tucker, and Terry...
Morrison,
thank you. That was the one word I forgot. So Johnny, why don't we start with you, and we'll each have a few minutes, and then we'll have some time for questions after.
Okay. Just a little bit, a quick introduction to myself. My name is Johnny Lin, and I'm currently teaching computer science at the University of Washington's Bothell campus. Before that, I taught physics. And before that, I did climate research. So I've had kind of a weird career. But the one idea on the topic that I wanted to throw out there, so on this particular topic, I thought I'd share one idea that is really, really basic, but I actually think it's a bigger deal than most of us realize. And that is, if you're trying to look for a mentor, especially a Christian mentor, in related to science, ideally, make a list of all the possible people that you could ask, and then talk to every single one of them, and actually talk to them, and ask them, or at least some of them, to help you out. And this list doesn't have to be a list that you generate immediately. It's a list that you can generate as you go along over time. There's a number of things sort of wrapped up in that one idea. The first thing is that most of us think of mentoring as being something that you have to find this one uber mentor that will essentially iron out all the issues that you have in your life and you'll be good for the next 60 years. This person has to have has to be both a Christian and a scientist, and has to be, a saintly Christian who's ready to be canonized, or a scientist who's ready to win the Nobel Prize. And when those two are together, then you've found your ideal mentor. And this is improbable. It's not impossible, but it's improbable. And so I think you really end up doing is you end up interacting with people and learning certain things from different people at different times in your career. So this list... obviously take a look at your church leadership. Write down folks who are leading fellowship groups, who might be elders or leading different ministries within your church. Look outside of church leadership to are there older, especially older couples who are people that just as you interact with on a weekly basis, you can tell, yeah, these are people who really have a maturity about them. If you, I think people who are regulars at prayer meetings are people to really, you know, pursue and to get to know and to learn from. Go to the ASA directory, filter it by location, just write down all those different folks, and you know, you can look for local people, look to find fellows, because at the very least they're probably going to be older, and so there might be life experience that will be there for you. Look at authors in PSCF. Are there things about a particular author's writing that convey something about how they think and what kind of you know, what kind of approach they have with regards to issues that might be something that is encouraging to you? If you're involved in a ministry, what colleagues do you have there? Often those are people who will be very, very helpful for that. You know, just an example in my own life, one very key mentor for me when I was in my early 20s was my the guy I used to work with high schoolers, and he was the head counselor in that youth group, and just the years that we worked together, learned a great deal from him. Later on in my life, you know, just there's various people that I would just observe what they were, you know, what they were doing, how they did things. In my church, I can think of one very particular person who's older than me, like 10 years. In the ASA, I don't mean to put you on the spot, Randy, but, you know, Randy is somebody when I worked, as I served on council, that I would, you know, in a non-stalker way, you know, observe like how he did things and what sort of attitudes he took and, you know, how he responded to things and you know, would learn from that. And so that's the one big idea that I have that I throw out to folks.
Great, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Is it okay if I stand up?
Absolutely.
I like to see people I'm talking to. I can't do that while sitting down. Now I may be blinded by a little bit, but first of all, let me just second everything that Johnny said. I don't know about the last part, but for the most part, what he said is right on. I'm going to narrow my comments a little bit just towards the industrial job. If you want to be a sports hero, you can find a different mentor, or a spiritual hero. It's another thing. But I want to talk a little bit about industry, because my career was at IBM Research Center and my entire career, and I moved into executive research management fairly quickly. So I did an awful lot of hiring and firing over the time. So let me just give you a few tidbits of when you get your first job. Some of you may already have it, you know, in terms of a few hints that I've found, and I've mentored quite a few new hires and experienced hires during that time. First of all, when you get to work, it's already assumed you've got the skills and the talents. You know that. I mean, you wouldn't be there if you hadn't gotten that far. So you have to differentiate yourself a little bit from others who have comparable skills and talents. These days, you're all skilled. One of the biggest differentiators that I looked for that made a difference between people is enthusiasm, your attitude of what you want to do. But the other aspect that I want to emphasize is it very quickly comes out what is your goal, what is primary in your goal, and if it comes through that your goal is to be ambitious and climb the ladder quickly, not good. The attitude I think you want to give is one of how can I help the company succeed? What can I do better? I remember one person I hired that he was a home run. I mean, he did everything beyond what I could, and when I gave him his evaluation, there weren't enough words to say how wonderful he was. And so I gave him the highest mark we could, and he was crestfallen. He was so upset, and I couldn't imagine what was going on. And I said, what's the matter? You've got the highest grade. He says, Randy, I thought you were going to tell me how I could do better. and it was, he ended up taking my place. I mean, he's the best thing I ever did for IBM. But it's this notion of he was driven by the passion to make the company successful. And if your boss senses that you have that passion, you're going to succeed. So now, how do you get a mentor that will kind of help you? So what you want to do is observe. Like what Johnny said, you don't have to be. Keep your eyes open. Pay attention. How's the game played? Game? Yeah, it's a game. You know, what constitutes success? What, not what you think is, but what does the boss think? What is the company, the people who count, what are they looking for? Okay, figure it out, and when you look around, see who's playing the game well. Who is it that's respected? Who do your other coworkers, who do people respect? And that's where you kind of get to know who's doing it well. Like Johnny said, you kind of either a mental list or write it down or something. And you can make people a virtual mentor simply by observing. What are they doing? You know, what are their attitudes? What are their successes? And do that. But don't just stop there. If you like these people too, and they're not all likable. You know, you're going to work with people you don't like. But as you like them, engage them in conversation, casual, get to know them more as an observation, and don't hesitate to make an appointment with them if they're in management or if you have to, but to spend time with them, to have lunch, to enjoy, it's a vital part of it. But don't right away ask them to be your mentor. I remember often, you know, someone would come and say, would you be my mentor? And I would cringe. Okay, I already have a dozen or two people I'm mentoring, and I'm not really doing what I should for them. I don't have time for it. I don't have anything, and I can't fulfill my commitment. So I just say, yes, I'd love to. you know, I'm not going to be able to do this. You know, I mean, it's hard because it's a busy schedule, and mentoring has a connotation of a lot of time frame. On the other hand, if it's not a commitment of time, you know, I mean, mentoring is all over the place, but if it's an occasional visit, everybody you talk to is going to be delighted. I guarantee it, because they too, the people you pick, are going to be passionate for the success of the company, and they see it as you being there. So I could go on and on, but I'll give the others a little bit more time. But as you move forward, you do have to listen to advice. And a lot of different people, there is, like Johnny said, there is no single person that's got all the answers. And most of the most helpful comments I got were things that really bothered me, upset me, and hated me a lot. And it took me a while to figure out, yeah, I guess they're right. You know, I really have to change my behavior. So you want to know people who can tell you things that you don't want to hear. You know, and I could give a lot of examples, but maybe afterwards, lots of stories about it. But that gives you a little start of about a few things to do. Okay.
Thank you, Faith. Yeah. My name is Faith Tucker. You'll notice I am the one odd duck saying up here. I am much more on the receiving end of mentorship at this point, so I'm here to speak more about the student and early career experience of being mentored. I'm currently a high school physics and astronomy teacher, but I spent some time working for NASA, working for the AAAS, and did my master's in education, and have had sort of a mixed up couple of years of exploring the whole world of science education and science and faith. And the one thing that I can say about mentorship, first of all, is that I have every confidence that I would not at all be where I am today if it wasn't for the incredible mentors that I've had the privilege of benefiting from. And some of those were direct bosses and superiors of mine, and some of them were very happenstance connections. They have been absolutely invaluable for me, not only opening up doors professionally, but helping me discern what I wanted to do, how to get there. Some of the best advice I got very early on was, when thinking about this topic of mentorship, is look around you at the, much like Randy was saying, look around you at the older, more experienced people working in your field and see whose job would you want to have 10, 20, 30 years from now? Whose lifestyle appeals to you? And emulate them in every way that you can, get to know them. And like they said, mentorship is a huge tax of energy and time on the mentor. And so you might not be able to have this deep uber mentor, you know, life connection with this person. But even just watching them from a distance can be incredible. Incredibly valuable, but being willing to step forward and and initiate that conversation. My whole career path changed when I was fresh out of college and was an intern at NASA and had no idea what I wanted to do, but I knew I liked science, I knew I liked astronomy, I knew I liked education, and I thought Jesus was pretty cool, and if he could fit in there too, that would be awesome. And my pastor, who had gone to a BioLogos conference, said, oh, I met this great female astrophysicist. I think she works at NASA where you are. You guys should have lunch. It'll be great. And I was like, great, a female astrophysicist. Like, great. You know, I looked up her name, Jennifer Wiseman. Okay, and I, like, typed it in. And I was like, wait, she's the, like, project scientist for Hubble? I think that's kind of a big deal. And I emailed her with every expectation of her saying, no, I'm a big deal, Faith. I don't have time for you. You're a cute little intern. It turns out she was very busy. So it took us a couple weeks going back and forth, but she agreed to have lunch with me. And that conversation, one, was incredibly encouraging for me to see that it was possible to be a Christian in astrophysics. It was possible to be a woman in astrophysics. It was possible to be a Christian woman in astrophysics. And that turns out she had this ulterior life, this alter ego of working in science or religion. And by the end of that lunch, I was driving with her to the AAAS headquarters and interviewing for an internship with Dozer. And that's how I found it, ASA, and the rest is history. All 4 years of the rest is history. And so that the willingness of my pastor to just say, hey, I have something to offer, you know, make use of it, who knows what will come. The willingness of Jennifer to give me a shot has been completely very influential for me. But the great thing about mentorship for me is that I've had a lot of different mentors in different areas of life. I had my professors in college, the one who, when I sophomore year, I decided this astronomy thing is great, but math and physics is far too hard. I'm going to go do religion and it'll be great. And she sat me down and she said, you're not the strongest physics student, but you're good enough to do this major. If you really want it, you should do it. And that was a big turn in my college career, working with Jennifer, the mentor teacher I had in my student teaching. All of those people have been incredibly influential, and a lot of those relationships came because I was willing to take the very uncomfortable step of an introvert to be like, hi, stranger, can we talk? And so seeking out those relationships is valuable, being humble and realizing that you have a lot to, like, you have everything to learn from this person and probably not a lot to offer. I'm sure you do have something wonderful to offer, but I mean, being, if you're in psychology land, like having a growth mindset about teacher, I'm sorry. So anyways, yes. And particularly also from the female perspective, having mentors that were women that showed me that the careers that I was interested in were accessible, was incredibly influential. Even if we never had that explicit conversation, I never asked them, what is it like to be married with kids as a research scientist? Just to see that they existed was very powerful for me. And so seek them out, mentors. They're good.
Thank you. I'm Terry Morrison. I was a half dozen or dozen years, I guess, at ChemProf, and then I joined InterVarsity. And from 91 till 2006, I was doing faculty ministry. So I worked with people on both sides of the situation. Two things I want to add to the encyclopedic stuff that's already come out here. There was a senior faculty person at MIT that I visited periodically, and he said something once that has resonated with me quite a bit. He said, when I meet a young assistant professor, and I ask that person, who is your mentor? And if they fumble around and can't mention a person right away, I know they will not get tenure at MIT. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a pretty scary thing. So the point is, finding mentors is essential. If you're starting out, grad school, faculty position, work position. Now, the second thing I want to say is the kind of mentoring. These guys have sort of suggested it's a heavy-duty, repeated, ongoing, deeply penetrating relationship. Look out for episodic or occasional mentoring. People who can come into your life or whom you can approach for one specific thing, one brief period of time, there's something you have seen in them. A man named Charles Hummel was early active in InterVarsity, Yale, BS in, I think, chemical engineering, was in the Army of Occupation in Japan in the late 40s, joined InterVarsity staff, got a master's, I think, at Wheaton in Divinity. And he would show up in my life periodically. Occasionally, I would write him, this is back in the old days when you wrote letters, and ask him a question, but he kept track of me enough so that when I re-engaged someplace in time X years later than the last time, he could say something that would be riveting to me, very applicable, and I knew he prayed for me. But I didn't see him very often and never for any great length of time. But he had a major impact. And I think you can look for people who you don't spend a lot of time with, but who you can ask to deal with issue A, issue B, whatever you're going through, and then keep up with that person so that you can interact on this issue or others that come up over time. And I've had a number of those, and I've been in people's lives as an older person, again, episodically, I've been a few where I've spent a lot of time with a person, but most of them, it's been episodically. And yet I feel that I could put into their life important things, and certainly my own experience. So I would say, don't overblow your expectations for depth and length of interaction.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Sheila. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we have a few minutes. Does anyone have a question?
Yeah, so I have a question just on finding specifically Christian mentors in science and science faith. I'm a PhD student. I have a wonderful advisor in neuroscience. So I feel like I have a mentor in her, but no one in my institute is a Christian and an academic. So where does someone like that, I'm sure other people can relate, but yeah,
Which institution, may I ask?
George Mason University, Krasner Institute.
George Mason.
I mean, I know some professors who are Christians, but not in neuroscience.
Is there an InterVarsity group there?
Not currently. Yeah.
There is an InterVarsity staff worker, Kevin Offner, in the D.C. area.
Okay.
And he would know people, faculty types. That, so InterVarsity's grad faculty ministry could be a resource to connect with people.
Yeah.
But the Association of Christians in Chemical Engineering or some such thing started when two professors put a handwritten notice on the board at a national AICHE meeting saying, if you're interested in Christianity and would like to talk to others, let's have breakfast in room so-and-so. And a dozen people turned out, and it started a whole thing. So at national meetings, you could put up a little notice or something.
Mm-hmm. And even something like the ASA network could connect you. Randy may know someone at George Mason. You know, that type of networking can be really beneficial, too.
And if you find a Christian neuroscience at a different institution, you know, like Bill Newsom, not exactly at George Mason, but he will know the field much better than you, so he might be able to suggest somebody.
Yeah. One more question, Keith, you have one?
Not a question. I just wanted to emphasize what Carrie just said. I consider Carrie a mentor. And very much in the nature that you were speaking. First met Terry when I was an undergraduate, when he was area director in InterVarsity, and he'd just keep popping up in my life, you know, every 5-10 years or so. And that was very, very valuable, and I, on occasion, relied on him very heavily when I had a particular crisis or concern that I was dealing with. So I just wanted to reinforce that, that it's not someone that has to be have extensive interaction with you, that there can be people that are important and give you important guidance along the way.
Great. Last comment, Craig?
It's about something Randy said and then Terry. Asking, will you be my mentor? Big step. What are some good small step ways you can begin?
Well, basically, if it's a one-time question, you know, say a specific, it's really a good specific situational, perhaps, or to engage and communicate with someone, just to learn more about what's going on. If you structure it as a one-time meeting, you're going to get in almost definitely, because everyone, no matter how busy they are, cares so much about the overall success that you will do that. What I didn't like is more of a commitment long term to continually meet weekly or biweekly or whatever, you know, that kind of connotation, and you can't sustain that. And I would feel like a failure in that mode. But I'd be more than happy if anybody wanted just to talk, or especially if they wanted to know how a particular situation would work out. Specific questions are the best way to start.
I think another key point is to observe carefully and look for those persons that seem to you to have something going on in the area in which your question arises. Even raise a question with them just to see what their reply is in some at the coffee or what, you know, drinking fountain or whatever. But to observe and then narrow in on the people that might be the most useful.
And you can insert that observation into the question so that they see that you're
Good point.
Paying attention, right. And then that makes it.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Well, we need to transition to our next session. So let's thank our panelists. Sign up for Nexus, and I have to say everything that I've heard on the panel has been very validating to me, because tomorrow I'll be presenting a symposium in the morning on mentoring, and a lot of what's been brought up here today will be covered in a little more detail with a little more resources and suggestions for connecting with various types of mentors and understanding mentoring in general. So. I'd love to be talking with both younger students and early career and the older members and professionals. So I would love to see you in the morning. So thank you.